the guy who drives it through.
We had the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It's just unfortunate we never won anything.
Man's in trouble if he kicks. The super shop has done it again. And Motherwell back in front.
It's not a choice anymore. You know, we're going to have to be much more effective in the transfer market. And everybody in the club knows that. Jukovic
on the chase. Might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh wow! Oh wow! Lukas Jukovic!
Thick or thin, no matter what happens, we're privileged to be part of this club.
And here they come again, Rachel stretched, it's Hamlet again, Pizzwitz committing himself, and he scores! It's 3-0 to Motherwell!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Hello and welcome to the By The Minute MFC podcast. Tonight, regulars Jay and Buster are joined by Joe McKelvey. Welcome along, Joe.
Thanks, Sparrow.
Well, a brilliant couple of days, capped off with a 3-0 victory over Rangers to secure a 6-1 aggregate victory in the Scottish Premiership relegation playoffs. Jay, for all we didn't want to be in these playoffs, I would rate these last couple of games as right up there as some of the best times I've ever had supporting Motherwell.
Yeah, it was sublime. It was definitely the kind of games that will just live on and live on. You know, we said just you know, the last podcast with Kevin Twaddle, we were talking about the game at Ibrox and how you know, how that would live on, and it was such a good game. But you were always conscious of the fact that we had to finish the job for it to, you know, really mean something. So yeah, it was right up there with, you know, finals, semi-finals. Again, you know, I said on Friday that I was 5 years old at the cup final in 91, so I couldn't really appreciate it. So for me, this is definitely up there. It was just sublime. You didn't want to be in the position, but once you're in it, you need to just go on with it. You need to just buckle down, you need to go on with it, and that's exactly what we did. We did it brilliantly.
Plus, that key word that Ian Barraclough mentioned after the first leg was bravery. He wanted the players to stand up and be counted. They certainly did that. And yesterday, after a nearly first half, they showed real grit, and really, I couldn't believe how superior we were to Rangers.
You're right. I think I said it in the last one as well. I didn't think anything would change. I thought it would go exactly the same. I think I even said it with 2-0. The fact that we were so much better was kind of unreal. Going to Ibrox, everybody was like a bit, you know, cautious or how it could have played out. And then, you know, as you say, when they got their consolation at Ibrox, it sort of put a bit of doubt back in everybody's head. But again, just like the Ibrox, first 20 minutes, keep it solid, make sure we don't lose a goal, let them come on to us, and then we'll just play right off them. And again, you've seen how good a game Johnson had, Irwin again, Ainsworth, McDonald, it's just the four of them going forward, Rangers just couldn't handle them.
Joe, I think the club needs to take a lot of praise for the last couple of days. A masterstroke in Rangers ticket allocation. And then after that, the praise should go to the supporters, as far as I'm concerned. A fantastic atmosphere at the away leg. And that was, again, prominent. You could hear very little from the Rangers supporters, albeit the team were behind almost throughout the tie. But Motherwell fans, fantastic.
Absolutely unbelievable. The past two games in Ibrox is one of the best away games I've ever been in my life, and we get kept in for probably about half an hour after the game. In truth, I could have stayed much longer. It was just great atmosphere, and it's easy to say this sitting here after the events of the last 4 days, but I would almost say it's been worth this season we've had to have had the last 4 or 5 days, two victories over Rangers, great atmosphere. It's just been a great week to top off a disappointing season.
There's plenty of flashpoints following the conclusion of the 90 minutes, Jay, in particular, Dale Mosney's ridiculous attack on Lee Irwin, falling off what really could be described as handbags over shaking hands at the final whistle. Irwin perhaps shouldn't have reacted by pushing the Rangers player, but what followed was ludicrous.
Yeah, it's, you know, Irwin's acted a little stupidly. There's no need to push him. You know, if he doesn't want to shake your hand, be the bigger man, show a bit of class and just, you know, laugh at him, go on with it. But yeah, there was absolutely no need for Moyes' response. It was horrendous. It was, you know, a proper assault. I don't think anyone had come of it. I think that the police are always a bit reluctant to get involved. I think that the SFA probably, you know, I mean, the fact that he's going to be leaving and stuff like that, are they really that bothered about dishing out a big ban or anything like that? It'll be interesting to see how it develops, you know, how the SFA treat it. But it was disgraceful, and it's a shame because, you know, you look at the papers and it's all about that. It's, you know, it's all about the ugly scenes at the end and things like that. And it's kind of overshadowed, at least in the media. Obviously, we were there. We witnessed the Murrow performance. We know how good it was. But in terms of the media coverage and things like that, it's kind of been slightly overshadowed. You know, it should all be about how good we were, how bad Rangers were, and how we managed to, you know, put six past them. And instead, you need to go a couple of pages in now to read about that, because it's, you know, all the column inches are all taken up about what was a really pathetic display from Mosney.
But I think Jay got to the sum of the parts there. I'm looking at two of the tabloid papers' back pages just now. Poison Playoff in the Record, Game of Shame in the Sun, and you're thinking, it's just, if Rangers had won this playoff, regardless of the circumstances, you would have had pullouts in the middle of the papers. So, while I don't think that, given that we've finished second bottom of the league, we should be taking it too much over the score, this would, I don't believe if the shoe was another foot that we would be, we would be witnessing so much focus on events off the park.
I think you're right, to be honest with you. It certainly seems to be, you know, taking the shine off, you know, what was two great performances. I don't think the performances have went unnoticed, but it's as you say, the fact that the headlines are all about the incidents rather than, you know, the actual football, or the fact that, you know, there was 6-1. I mean, 6-1's an absolute pumping. I still can't believe it, 6-1. But as you say, it's turned into, you know, there was a fight at the end. Lee McCulloch got hit with a flagpole. Sunday threw a flare onto the park, you know, so it's certainly taking the shine off it anyway.
Joe, that's what I was going to move on to there. After the scrap at the end, with the kind of almost obligatory pitch invasion, some of our supporters goading the Rangers fans, it seemed to be dealt with. And then you've got police horses in the pitch. I think that was almost for the photographer's benefit more than anything else. Everything seemed to be exaggerated a fair bit. And then after that, we've got Lee Irwin speaking on the telly. I thought it was quite an amusing interview to hear as a Murrow supporter, but maybe he's just kind of stirred the flames slightly again.
Very much so. I mean, I think the Motherwell pitch invasion, as much as it's been kind of halted in the last few years, it's obligatory. It happens at the last home game every single season. I do think the Motherwell fans could wear a wee bit antagonistic going over to the Rangers fans, but as you say, it was totally blown out of proportion. I actually thought that at one point the police horses looked more scared of the Motherwell fans than they did of them. But after the game, you see Irwin's interview, it's not the most professional thing I've ever heard in my life, as you say, but I did have a bit of a chuckle to myself about it in the shoes of a Motherwell fan. But what you are kind of looking at there is a young 21-year-old boy who's fresh off trying to shake someone's hand and ended up getting volleyed and getting a burst lip for his troubles. Had anyone still running high, and he'd kind of been out for revenge as such. So I think that's maybe contributed to his comments a bit, but he probably does need a bit of media training.
I had a boy in front of me in the stand actually say that the four police horses were all related to Mosney, so it was nice that in a time where the Rangers fans were struggling to get into Fir Park, he was able to get tickets for his relatives and see him act so wonderfully on the park. He also got tied up in the goal net towards the end when we broke away to win the penalty for the third goal. Lasley was actually acres and acres of space because he was still trying to release his leg from the goals. So, as we say, hilarious at football, and he lived up to that billing. But he's a decent boxer, it has to be said.
There's also, you mentioned obviously the Rangers fans struggling to get tickets. If you go on the forums and on Twitter and things like that, the flair that was thrown on, we said at the time, it was quite clearly thrown on by a Rangers fan. There's people saying that they were sitting in that area, and when Motherwell scored, they got up and left and threw that on as they left. It still looks kind of bad on us because it came through our end, but I think it's worth pointing out. It appears to have been a Rangers fan that actually threw it on the park.
Aye, I mean, the thing is that, as usual, it's I read today there was an article in the Daily Record about it, just about the trouble at the end, and it was praising the behaviour of the Rangers fans. They didn't get involved. And you're reading this and it's just utter nonsense. I mean, you're right, as soon as the flare went on, I think we all thought, right, that's a Rangers fan. There's no way. I mean, nobody in the main stand knows what a flare is, never mind, chucking one on the park. And it was quite clear, and then obviously that's been confirmed, the outrage over the flag, incident with McCullough. Yeah, it's a bit of a stupid thing to do, but you just need to watch it. It's quite clear he's trying to flick the ball, and he, obviously accidentally hits McCullough in the face. And I think if you watch it, I think the first thing McCullough does is actually kind of say to the steward, it was accidental, that kind of thing. And then the fans themselves, Motherwell fans running on the park. It was going to happen. As soon as Motherwell fans go on the park against Rangers in such a high-pressure tie, they're going to just sort of gravitate towards that end. But basically, you just had two groups of fans, one group in the stand, one group on the park, chatting to each other. With a luminous yellow barrier between the two. Both sets of fans knew quite clearly nothing was going to happen. And then a few minutes later, Rangers fans were out the ground, the Motherwell fans were right back in the stand. So this chat about there being, almost a riot and things like that, it's just utter nonsense. And the praise for the behaviour of the Rangers fans, that we all know that, yes, they might have one or two decent fans, but we all know that there's horrible, horrible support, full of utter idiots, utter scumbags. They spent the game when they did sing, the usual songbook was out. And then, during the course of the game, they were breaking seats, they were ripping up seats. There was a large proportion of the game the Rangers fans spent trying to get to one particular steward to start a fight with them. Near the end, they were trying to fight with people in the hospitality boxes in the south stand. And somebody pointed out earlier today that if you actually, those fans in the hospitality are apparently Rangers fans, so they were essentially fighting each other. I mean, so this idea that Motherwell fans were on the park causing havoc and almost starting a riot while the Rangers fans sat in the south stand as angels, obviously we all know that's nonsense, but it's just so completely, far away from the truth. Rangers fans, Motherwell fans shouldn't have done it. It was ill-advised, but they done it. They got off the park, that's it. We'll probably get a fine, and rightfully so. But the Rangers fans were just their usual horrible, horrible selves. And of course, that just kind of adds to the sheer delight in stopping them from coming up.
That's it for me, because having witnessed them firsthand on numerous occasions, the Rangers supporters, who are they to cast aspersions on us and our support, who are, for the best part, very well behaved, support the team in the right fashion? And compared to their just constant flag waving and their less than desirable songbook, I've read a few things come through in our Twitter just from bitter, bitter people, and I think that's possibly why we all take such delight in eventually getting one up on them. It's taken us a while, but I think that adds to the satisfaction.
Well, I've kept it very quiet amongst my workmates and my friends, up until last night, basically. But the arrogance that I was getting from him as well, before the first leg, we're going to win 4 or 5-0. And I don't know, I didn't know where they were getting that from.
it seems as though they've all got this streak of, again, just utter arrogance that they think they've got some sort of divine right to be there. And, you know, quite clearly they're shite, basically, and they got absolutely hammered.
Here we go. You were nearly doing really well there, and then you swore.
You can edit that out.
No, that's it. Yeah, we've talked about him a wee bit earlier on. Joe, it looks for all the world that he will move on now that the season's finished with Elland Road and Leeds United his destination. It seems like a good move for both parties, given that Motherwell looks set to bank about £500,000 for Erwin, while he won't be playing against us in, well, not the near future anyway. I would describe him as a raw talent with bags of potential.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think as things have worked out, that I'm going to Elland Road, as it seems, us pocketing £500,000 from it is possibly the best possible outcome we could have had from Lee Erwin, if you ask me, because at the first half of the season, as you say, it looked raw talent with bags of potential, first half of the season, but it just didn't get a run of games, things didn't quite click the way it would. Since McDonald has come in and played beside him, he's looked absolutely fantastic, made a very telling contribution to keeping us up, and he's scored 6 goals, made quite a few others. I mean, he's got, and as well as scoring on Thursday night, he got an assist for Ainsworth, they won the penalty that we scored yesterday. His contribution has been absolutely massive, but what I think you also do need to consider is people will criticise Motherwell for his contract being up this season, but for me, he spent a large chunk of the past 2 seasons before this one injured, and to take a gamble and offering a guy a long-term contract who's had 2 long-term injuries at the age of 19 and 20 would have been a risk. So for me, he's made a great contribution to this season. We're pocketing money from it. He's getting a move, and we're not seeing him... Well, we're seeing him leave out of contract, but we're not seeing him leave for free. We are being credited with his development. I think, for me, you have to sit back and look at it as a deal that benefits everyone.
Yeah, but I think Joe's got it spot on there, but how do you feel now that it looks almost certain that he will be moving on?
Pretty passive, to be honest with you. You know, as Joe says, he's got his talents, he definitely has. You know how I feel about him in the air, he's god awful in there. Don't get me wrong, it's not good when we're punting the ball at him anyway, but you know, I don't think he's very talented when it comes to timing his jumps and winning headers. Joe mentioned his injuries as well. You know, I know there's not really such a thing as loyalty in football, but for him to have 2 bad injuries for basically 2 seasons at points, you know, you'd like to have thought he'd maybe have been interested in signing on a wee bit longer. You know, if he signs a 2-year deal, you know, we sell him after 1 or whatever if he's good enough to be sold. But as you says, £500,000, would we have actually got £500,000 if we were trying to sell him while he was under contract? No, it's probably not, but as you say, it seems to be a good deal that suits everybody. Now we just need somebody, you know, to fill his gap.
Jay, that does bring us on nicely to, of course, it is the end of the season, so a number of players out of contract. I'd like to kind of discuss a few in particular. I think there's a few that are quite cut and dry that they'll be moving on. Paul Lawson has moved on. Ian Vigers, I think we would all agree, is a cert to move on. 2 interesting ones, and then one that might divide opinion. We'll start with Scott McDonald, who's had a fantastic short spell at the club. His second time up for Park, he's scored some crucial goals. He's been a massive influence in Lee Erwin as well. He really has brought the best out of the young guys. So wages, I dare say, will be an issue, but given Erwin's departure, maybe a wee bit in the coffers now to offer Skippy a deal.
Well, when Skippy came in at Foster, I never thought there was a chance of him staying. And I don't think my opinion on that's not really changed. I think that it's an excellent player. I mean, over both legs, he was absolutely magnificent. playing in a position that you never really expected to see him play in. I think I'm right in saying that he was kind of employed in an attacking midfield role at times at Millwall. It was Millwall, who's that, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
He's just still minced for last night. I think he was employed in that kind of role, and one of the reasons he came to Motherwell was because he wanted to play up top. So it was interesting, you know, in our two biggest games, he was kind of dropped back to midfield, but he was magnificent, and you're right, he's brought on Elvin really, really well. But I just think that, you know, if there is a club, perhaps Championship level, that wants to take a bit of a punt on McDonald, it'll be completely out of our hands. I don't see any reason for him to want to stay. I think he'll want to go. You know, I don't think he's 31. I think he'll still think he's got a couple of years left down south, perhaps in the Championship. So I'd be very surprised if he stays. And to be honest, I don't want, as much as I do rate him, and I think he's been brilliant this, you know, his spell, second spell at the club, I don't want us to be, you know, pushing the boat out for anybody. You know, we've had a good few years of slightly awkward budgeting, shall we say. We obviously heard at the Q&A that almost cost his administration. So I'm quite happy, you know, cap a wage budget, have a, you know, a cap on what you're going to pay as a highest paid player and don't break it. So, you know, yeah, Elvin might be leaving, a few others might be leaving. I'm not interested in, you know, making McDonald, you know, giving McDonald silly money to keep him here. If you want to offer him a deal, then great, but I'll be very surprised if he stays. I think there'll be clubs down south. I think Wigan was mentioned at some point. I think there'll be clubs down south that'll be far more appealing to McDonald. And if he goes down south and he gets himself a club, then good luck to him. You know, he's came in, he's done exactly what was asked of him. He came here to improve the side, try and get us out of where we were, and he's contributed massively. So as much as I'd love him to stay, I just can't see it.
I think you're 100% right there, because if you watch his interviews when he first came to the club, you know, he basically says, you know, I think I've still got it. I've come here to prove that, whether or not I end up staying here or whether or not I go elsewhere. So I think he's looking, you know, he's looking as if he's looking for, you know, maybe going to, if you say, somebody like Wigan, you know, they've just been relegated to League One. You could probably, you know, get $5,000 a week down there, you know, mate. I don't want to say one final payday, because I think Scott McDonald's a great professional. He might not have, you know, left us in the right manner or whatever, but he gets his head down and he does his job. Again, like you says, you know, he wanted to play up front, so when he's told he's playing midfield, you know, he probably moaned about it at the time, but because he's a wee moaner, but you know, he gets his head down and he does his job. So I think he's definitely not going to stay here, but I think he's going to go to maybe League One, probably.
For me, I think again, you're looking at something that's benefited both parties. McDonald maybe wasn't having the best time of it down in Millwall, but there is absolutely no denying that he's still a top quality footballer. So his bad experience at Millwall brought him up here, playing a place where he's familiar playing football. He sort of dragged our team up with him, up to his standards, kept us in the division. It's benefited Motherwell no ends. We're still a Premiership club. It's put him in the shop window where he was maybe stuck in a rut, and he's proved to people that he can still do it. He's still a top quality player. So again, it's one of those things that it's benefited Motherwell, it's benefited McDonald. I would love to see him stay, but as Jay said, I don't want us to be paying funny money. But if he does move on, we'll say thanks very much. You've been great in your second spell. Go on, get your move down south and go and make the most of the last 3 or 4 years of your career.
Jay, if McDonald does move on, it leaves us with very few striking options. One of them being John Sutton, who's also out of contract. Sutton finished the season a top goal scorer despite chances being fairly limited under Ian Barraclough during the second half of the season. What's your take on him?
I like John Sutton. I think, you know what you get. He's a goal scorer. If you give him chances, he'll stick them away. That's what he does. He obviously needs to suit your style of play. That's the issue, I think. That's obviously why Barraclough has used him more from the bench rather than starting lineups. It doesn't really suit Barraclough's play, but I think that, you know, if you're going to go from having, you know, 3 or 4 striking options to having very few, then he's a good one still to have. Obviously, it would need to suit him as well. You know, if he knows he's not a first choice, would he want to stay? You know, who knows? But he's a goal scorer, that's what he does. He's not particularly mobile. I kind of look at him is a poorer version of Michael Higdon, if you like. Higdon, when he was played up front, you know, when Higdon first came in and he was played as a lone striker, it just never worked because he's not that kind of player. He doesn't do a lot of running. You know, he can't really play that lone striker role. And it was only when Higdon was sort of joined by Ojama up front that, you know, you really get the best out of him. And he'd been on to be absolutely magnificent. Now, I'm not suggesting Sutton is quite at the level of Higdon, but he's similar in that if you're going to play a lone striker with wingers down the side like we have done recently against Rangers, then Sutton doesn't really suit that. But if Barraclough wants to go two up front, then, you know, at this level in the SPL, you will struggle to get as good a goal scorer as John Sutton. You know, we're not a great team. We don't have a great budget. So the idea that we're going to get rid of Sutton and bring someone else in who can score as many goals, I think that's a big risk. Obviously, if Barraclough doesn't think that he can fit into his team, then that's fair enough. You understand that. Sutton may not want to hang around if he thinks he's going to be, you know, spending most of the season on the bench. But I think that to simply add him to a list, you know, everybody's posting up their lists on someone online and on Facebook and things, posting up lists of who we should get rid of. And I think to simply add him to the, you know, the out list, you know, just so blasé, is it would be wrong, because I think that he would still have a massive, massive part to play next season and possibly beyond if we were to keep him. Because he scores goals, that's what he does. And if we did keep him and he was able to fit into a system that Barraclough wanted to play, then, you know, there's no doubt that he would potentially get another 20-plus goals.
Lester, I think the kind of core of experienced players that we've got in our squad, McDonald excluded, they're all quite quiet in the pitch. They go about and they try to show their leadership qualities in terms of demonstrate how to go about their business quite quietly. I'm talking in particular Keith Lasley, Stevie Hamill, who are leaders on the park without being particularly vocal. I think that's been something that a few of them have been criticised for at points this season. Sutton also could be useful for younger players, particularly guys like Craig Moore.
Yeah, you know, no matter what your job is, you're always, you know, it's always good to learn from somebody with a lot more experience than you. But, you know, I think, again, John Sutton and Craig Moore are two different types of forward. Where, you know, Craig Moore's maybe wee nippy, hopefully, whereas John Sutton, you know, sometimes he runs like he's got concrete on his feet. But as Jay says, to totally dismiss him, I think would be a mistake. I think one of the issues may be, you know, his wages, basically how much he gets paid. But I think we were talking earlier and I says that, you know, they might offer him a deal. It'll probably be on less money. But I don't know if, as you say, that will suit everybody. Maybe they might even not offer him a deal, as you says, if Barraclough doesn't think he'll fit into his system, which again is understandable. So it all depends really on that. And, you know, going back to the, you know, the quieter team members, if you wish, I don't think it's any coincidence that our defence seemed to show up a wee bit when Stevie Hamill came back. You know, so just goes to show you know, these players might not be shouting and bawling. You know, it might just be a case of having a wee word across to the centre half. Come in here, bring this way, I'm going there. You know, I don't mind, you know, especially now with guys like Stevie Hamill and Keith Lasley. Keith Lasley been a great player. You know, he took a bit of stick this year, I think, but I think, again, he was getting hung out to dry at times in that midfield. So, and, you know, with his age, he can't continue to just run like a headless chicken up and down. So, I don't mind as long as they perform. You know, the younger players will learn for these players, but they don't have to run about shouting and bawling, in my opinion.
Joe, the last guy I'd like to discuss is Lionel Ainsworth, a player that you found difficult to kind of understand his performances at times over the course of this season. It can be little to deny that he's been a pivotal part in both the playoff games, out of contract. It has been described as a bit of a luxury, but what a brilliant luxury he is to have at times.
Yeah, he's been a bit of an enigma at times for us, but in equal measures he's been absolutely devastating on his day this season, which for me is very frustrating. I mean, there was a period of time under Stuart McCall around about October, November time where he didn't seem to be starting games, and at that point I was calling McCall and Kenny Black as a caretaker out for Ainsworth not starting. But then he came into the team under Barraclough, and there seemed to be a 6 to 8 week period where a winner against Inverness, a side that he just didn't look interested, the effort was didn't appear to be there to my anyway, his application didn't seem there, there seemed a lack of desire. But then he came back into the side against Hamilton Accies in the Friday night game, scored that absolute cracker and followed up with a second 5 minutes later. And since then, he has gone on to show a rich vein of form. And I mean, how priceless could these 2 goals in the playoffs actually be when you think about it? And if I do think, as much as he's frustrated me, as much as I think he could do so much better if he applied himself every week, and if maybe if it was a mindset thing or an attitude thing that could be resolved. But when you sit back and think about a midfielder who I believe has hit 20 goals and 20 assists in 2 seasons at the club, then to simply dismiss him and say, right, on you go, again, it might be a bit, obviously, 2 incredibly different situations with him and John Sutton, because John Sutton tries his heart out, and for the want of trying at times, it doesn't seem as if he's getting anywhere, whereas Ainsworth seems opposite. But in the same way, to dismiss Ainsworth right away is to say you'll let him go when he's scored 20 goals and get 20 assists over a 2-year period. There needs to be more to it than that for me.
Jay, what's your take on Lionel? It's been an up and down season for him, but it's certainly finished with some spectacular high notes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're all absolutely delighted over what you know, what's just happened. The Rangers played a massive, massive part in that. But I think if we're going to talk, you know, about new deals and things like that, we need to, you know, take into consideration what we were saying about him earlier in the season. You know, he's got, well, I think it's 13 senior clubs at 27 years old. That tells you all you need to know. The attitude isn't there. Who knows why? I mean, I think he'll retire one day and he'll look back and he'll probably kick himself, because he's got the ability to be at a far higher level than he's currently at. I mean, if he had the attitude to match his ability, then he would never have been a Motherwell player in the first place, because he's tremendous when he wants to be. And yet, you know, Dundee away and so many other games this season, he's literally just not been interested. So, you know, if it was possible to give him some sort of new deal that was, you know, maybe bonus-based rather than just, you know, a weekly wage, then, you know, that would maybe work out, you know, if you were paying him based on his goals and his assists and things like that, rather than, you know, a particularly high wage to begin with, so he actually has to go out there and earn his money. That may work, but, you know, obviously that's not something that is up to us. But, you know, I think it's easy to get carried away. You know, we're talking about new contracts, having just done something fantastic against Rangers in the playoffs. And yes, Ainsworth played a big part, but I think if we just dismiss the way we were talking about him earlier in the season and go, oh, well, he's done enough to earn a new contract, we're getting into Craig Reid territory. You know, Craig Reid offered a 2-year deal because he scored against Aberdeen, essentially, at the tail end of last season. It was, you know, he was the hero. We were happy to do it because of that. And, you know, he's barely kicked a ball this season. And, you know, he's probably one of the players that we wish was out of contract in the summer this year. So, you know, there should be no knee-jerk reactions. We should judge whether it's worth keeping him based on his entire career so far. And for me, over the piece, he's not done enough to earn a particularly good deal. You know, if we want to offer him, you know, I don't know how much he's on, if it fits in the budget and Barraclough thinks that he can get the best out of him, or he's going to build a squad where somebody like Ainsworth can sit on the bench and come on the last 20, then fair enough. But if we're going to take his last couple of performances as a sign of this brand new player, then I just don't see it. So for me, if it doesn't, you know, if the deal itself doesn't suit the club or he's on a big wage, then, you know, I would maybe be more inclined to let him find his 14th senior club.
Guys, I've actually got a list of the players out of contract from now, basically. Just kind of quick yes or no's. I think we already know Paul Lawson's been released. Simon Ramsden?
No for me.
Again, he's one of those players where I think if we'd went down, I'd maybe gave him a new deal, but Nah, I think we can do better than Ramsden.
He's either going to be injured or suspended. That's the way I see it. So there's not any real great benefit of us keeping him. So I say two red cards this season, numerous injuries over his 3 years at the club. Not for me.
Buster?
I'd already said no. I thought it was just a yes.
We'll just go for one-word answers here, because otherwise we're going to be here all night. We've still got a few things left. Ian Vigers?
No.
Gunnar Nielsen already released. Bob McHugh?
No.
I thought he'd another 8 years to run in his contract, but no.
Possibly does somewhere. The club. Josh Law signed up for another couple of seasons. Shoot Caswell?
I would be inclined to say yes.
Me as well, but again, we've hardly seen him this year.
It's one of those ones where if it benefits the club, if he's not on it, if it's not going to break the bank, then, you know, he did well enough last season to suggest that it might be worth it. But, you know, I wouldn't lose any sleep over losing him.
I'm going to have to say no at this one. I think he could become another Bob McHugh.
Adam Cummins has already posted on Twitter that he's off. Noted that he didn't feel that he's been given a fair crack of the whip after a promising first 18 months, but I must confess I would have been a no for him as well.
Yeah, me too.
His Twitter part is horrendous. No.
and that's how we base football ability these days. Zane Francis Angol?
No.
Fraser Kerr? Bear in mind, you will be suspended for the first couple of games.
I would have been given, you know, the way he reacted to Mosny, I'd be tempted to give him a new deal on the back of that. But I'm quite happy to see Fraser Kerr go.
Everyone knows the close relationship me and Fraser Kerr have, and I think there has been potential there for a player, but ultimately I think it's unfulfilled. Sorry to say that to my main man, but there you go.
I'm a complete maybe with Fraser Kerr, as you say. He's not been great, but I don't know. No answer for me on that one.
Well, that's the last one in the list. I think a quick mention for Ian Barraclough, who he spoke fantastically well, and he's delivered when it mattered most in terms of getting a performance out of the players in these final two games. It basically, by steering Motherwell to safety via the playoffs, cost me my hair, so I would really like to thank him for that. That's how confident I was of the job he was doing, it must be said. Again, I'm far from decided on him. I certainly think it's almost like what Jay was saying with Lionel Ainsworth. Just a final flurry in the season doesn't make him a good manager. It certainly doesn't make him a bad manager either, of course, but
What I would say about Barraclough is I do agree. I think the jury is still out. I think that there was, you know, a lot of mistakes made, but I do think there were improvements there. He did, improve Stuart McCall's team. He did what was asked of him. And I think you've got to acknowledge that, you know, tactically in both games, not just tactically, but his whole manner. You know, I think if Stuart McCall had still been in charge, the whole run-up would have been about how good Rangers were. It would all have been about Rangers. Our tactics probably would have been really defensive, and we would have bricked it. And I think that Barraclough, it was a welcome breath of fresh air to see a manager who had absolutely no fear of Rangers whatsoever, didn't subscribe to any old notions of the glorious Rangers. He basically just treated them as the mediocre football team they are, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And I think the one good thing is that we knew that he was going to be in charge next season. We knew that he was going to basically have the summer to build his own team. So I think the good thing is that there is a bit of a feel-good factor again. So hopefully, you know, there is that. There's a bit of pressure off him to now be allowed to do that. And, you know, it's almost a clean slate, rather than, you know, if we'd went down, then people would have been looking for excuses to get rid of him straight away. So that's one positive. It means he can now build his own squad. And, you know, I'm quite excited about it.
Buster, would you say that the summer's is a pivotal time for Ian Barraclough and the mark he's going to make in Motherwell Football Club?
We spoke about it obviously on Sunday as well, but as Jay says, he was going to be here anyway. Basically, he was, you know, getting a clean slate. you know, it's starting again, basically. He's going to have this season at least again, if MD's, you know, still wanting rid of him. He's going to be here for the full year, I think. But to go out in a high, gives him that bit of backing from people who are maybe, you know, a bit on the fence. During the summer, he's going to have to rebuild. You know, we never really lost much or brought in much last year, and that seemed to be a downfall for some reason. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do, especially, you know, if he's picking up players like Marvin Johnson and things like that. There's talk of, you know, Johnson was being looked at before Barakoff came in and things, but who knows that? How do we know that? So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. You know, he's worked as a scout down in England, so, you know, if he's got an eye for a player, we're soon to find it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is the last football-related, well, kind of the current squad-related podcast of the season. I would just like to thank everybody that's listened over the course of the season to the podcast. It's something that we only started in November on the back of Stuart McCall leaving, and basically just to pass the winter nights. It's grown into something that we didn't expect, and it's been great. It's something that we really enjoyed doing. Buster and Jay are brilliant and coming on every week. It's great, and some fantastic guests. We'll have some fantastic guests over the summer in terms of former players. Guys, just as a from me to you, thank you very much for your time over the season, and it's been great doing it with you guys.
Ah, you too, man. Cheers for being such a fantastic host.
Yeah, apart from the odd slip up, but
as he says, man, it's been fun. That was the main thing, you know. When we decided to do this, it was just like, you know, let's just blow off a bit of steam. You know, I think we thought maybe only our pals would listen. It turns out they're maybe the only ones who don't listen.
I think they get more than enough of us.
Yeah, exactly. But as you say, it's, you know, it's been a pleasure. As you say, thanks to everybody who's listened, who's come on as well. And, you know, it was good to get people like Flo, Les and Brian McCaffrey. You know, it's good to get people like that involved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we all start crying, I'll thank Joe for coming on. Over the summer, as I say, we've got Richie Foran, Seb Dykstra, Rob McKinnon, Jim John Patterson, Teal. And finally, who else have we got?
John,
oh, Jesus.
John Teal.
Yes. They'll be getting recorded.
Don't let him know that you forgot about him.
I'll just say just now that I think I was the first guest on last year, so if I was the first and last guest on this season, then I expect the same hospitality next year.
Oh, we'll definitely be back next season anyway with a vengeance.
Aye. Maybe we'll not be as bad next year.
Hopefully we'll bring a bit more success. Thank you very much for listening, guys. We'll be back sometime next week with the first of our former player podcasts. We'll confirm which one that'll be via our social media sites. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Players, and that's something I've tried to get across to them, that we've got players that can go and change games, win games, and players that hopefully go and show the best, and if you've given your best, then you can't ask for any more.
But we certainly believe that we're good enough to stay in the league over the two games. Like I said, they're going to be very tough, but we think we've got enough to certainly cause Rangers problems, and us is ultimately the other team that's been in the top leagues.
Oh, it goes Lee Irwin, Ainsworth, it's the Dantic run into the box, Irwin, and it's deflected in! Motherwell score first! Irwin had a go! There was a touch, I think, on its way in! Motherwell in the front in the playoff final! It's the left fielder Johnson, the snap header! It's another one! Stephen McManus, 2-0 to Motherwell. Rangers come unstuck at the set piece. The surge of the Steelmen in the first leg of the playoff final. Stephen Pearson. The Shields with the despairing challenge. Irwin takes over. It's Edgeworth! Motherwell steal! It cuts through Rangers again! Three for Motherwell! The final score in the first leg of this Premiership playoff final is Rangers 1, Motherwell 3.
Now, our little pocket of fans in the corner there made themselves known, made themselves heard, which was great, and I'm sure they had a great night. But they'll be preparing themselves again for another big day, and they'll play a big part.
I firmly believe that Motherwell will battle them, to be honest with you. I think Motherwell could go out and win the game 3-4 nothing.
If we can stay in this division, then it would be a proud moment, and would be up there with, you know, with winning league titles and cups.
Motherwell stormed the Ibrox Citadel on Thursday. Now they must guard the ramparts of their own fortress. And the meeting of Foster. Irwin off to the left. Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Defender Fletcher! And there goes! This gets by Bell! Fair Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking! Iggy Law frantically trying to get back. Marvin Johnson. Cutting in. It's Edgeworth! It's a second for Motherwell! Another deflection! Surely now, it puts the seal on it! John Sutton! What a final statement from Motherwell! Safety assured! The Steelmen remain in the Premiership.
You know, my squad consists of several hundred, I think, people that go and work for the football club, and then on top of that, several thousand hopes rest upon that. And we've done it as a group today. The supporters were magnificent over both legs. 950 were allowed to travel to Ibrox. They made themselves heard, and everyone that turned up today, again, made sure that the players knew that they were fully behind them. There was no negativity whatsoever, and we've gone and achieved this as a group together.